Don't ask why health food is so expensive. Ask why junk food is so cheap. And that is the thought for today. Today's episode of 7 Good Minutes is being sponsored by BetterHelp. Life can be overwhelming, and these days, a lot of people are burned out and don't even realize it. Most of the time, we associate burnout with work, but that's certainly not the only cause. Any of the many roles we play in life can lead us to feel burned out. So today, along with my friends at BetterHelp, I want to remind you to prioritize yourself. A great way to do this is by simply talking with someone. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't even have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. And it's a lot more affordable than in-person therapy. When you try BetterHelp today as a 7 Good Minutes loyal listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/7goodminutes. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/7goodminutes. Don't forget to use the code 7goodminutes to get 10% off. And now, on with today's episode of 7 Good Minutes. Welcome to 7 Good Minutes. I'm Clyde Lee Dennis. Thanks for joining me for what I believe will be 7 of the most enriching minutes of your day. In today's episode of 7 Good Minutes, in our Wellness Wednesday segment, we learn why now is a great time to ditch our unhealthy eating habits. Enjoy.
Almost everyone understands that sugar isn't particularly good for you and may feel guilty whenever having sweets or candy. This wasn't always the case. Sugar used to be advertised as just a quick source of energy, and even as a means for losing weight.
Another thing, the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds.
With recent research on the health effects, as well as the sugar industry's antics coming to light, the topic has gotten a lot of attention. The more you learn, the more you'll want to stop eating it. As a recovering sugar addict myself, I've read and watched all kinds of great content on the subject, but the focus is rarely how to quit sugar. There are 5 things that are working against you that need to be addressed. Once these are out of the way, quitting sugar becomes really easy. We'll start with your brain. Sugar keeps you consuming it regardless of the amount of food you have eaten for 2 reasons. The first is that it is actually biologically addicting. Sugar acts on your reward center in the brain to give you a sense of pleasure when you eat it. When you frequently consume sugar, you become tolerant to it and require more to get the same amount of pleasure. Then you can suffer withdrawal symptoms like headaches, tremors, mood swings, and irritability when you go without eating it. Another way sugar keeps you eating more food in general is by keeping you hungry. Eating sugar causes an excess release of insulin, and when there is too much insulin present in your body, your hypothalamus cannot pick up on its leptin signal. Leptin is a hormone released from the fat cells that is registered by your brain as a satiety signal. So when your brain can't pick up on that signal, it thinks you're starving. Ever had a soda or two before lunch and thought, man, that really filled me up, I think I'll have a light lunch? Me neither. Your brain also interprets hunger as your environment not having much food available. So it says, we need to use less energy by reducing activity, and we have to store whatever energy comes in. Anything that raises your energy expenditure makes you feel good, things like coffee, exercise, or ephedra. Anything like hunger that lowers your energy expenditure makes you feel crappy. The sugar keeps you hungry and feeling lethargic and crappy. Quitting cold turkey quickly breaks a cycle after just a week or two. One thing I found really kept me going in spite of massive sugar cravings was knowing that the longer I went without sugar, the better I would feel. This brings us to a key point, which is reducing sugar doesn't mean reducing happiness. The main premise of Alan Carr's book, Easy Way to Stop Smoking, is that you need to get it through your head that you're not depriving yourself of anything by quitting cigarettes. Cigarettes don't improve people's lives in any way, and the only reason smokers feel deprived while quitting is because of the dependency that the cigarettes created. While sugar at least tastes good, the feeling of deprivation occurs for the same reason. Extended use of sugar changes your brain so that you crave it. A lot of people, when faced with the idea of quitting sugar, will equate it to depriving themselves of pleasure. What they're not realizing is that sugar isn't raising overall happiness. It is simply creating a temporary contrast in happiness. If you're constantly consuming sugar, you can be making yourself unhappy, lethargic, and fat without realizing it. So what happens is that your baseline happiness gets lowered, and you have a spike in pleasure when you eat sugar. This brings us to the next thing that is working against you: advertising and almost any store selling food. Food companies have found that with virtually every product they sell, they can add at least a little bit of sugar to make it tastier and more profitable. The bliss point is a term used for the point at which the product is the sweetest and therefore the tastiest it can be before adding any more sugar would make it too sweet. This is why sugar is in 80% of foods in the market, and it's mostly in foods that you wouldn't expect to have any sweetness to them. So you have to put in some effort to ensure that what you're buying doesn't have added sugar, and you have to ignore all the tempting advertisements and colorful packages. The next thing that you have working against you is your habits. In The Power of Habit, Charles Duhigg talks about the basal ganglia, a primitive part of the brain that takes long series of actions and packages them into a single chunk. So a task like unlocking your door, sitting down, putting your seatbelt on, adjusting your mirror, putting the key in ignition, and so on, becomes just backing out of the driveway. Duhigg says that habits emerge because the brain is constantly looking for ways to save effort. Try and remember your commute to work in the morning yesterday. What do you remember about it? Not much, or maybe even none at all. This is because your basal ganglia takes over and you run on autopilot. The thing is, you can autopilot your meals too. This is something McDonald's is of course familiar with. Every McDonald's, for instance, looks the same. The company deliberately tries to standardize stores' architecture and what employees say to customers, so everything is a consistent cue to trigger eating routines. You can get good at deciding that you're better off going for the packaged food since you're too tired to cook. You can also get good at resisting cravings for junk food, buying some proper food, and taking it home and cooking it. The other side to this is familiarity and nostalgia. Alan Hirsch describes nostalgia as not relating to a specific memory, but rather to an emotional state. In Robert Lustig's book Fat Chance, he says that food is one of the true enjoyments of life. Yet familiarity breeds greater cravings. Ask Philadelphians about their cheesesteaks, New Orleans denizens about their po'boys, and Bay Nantes or Memphians about their barbecue. Surprise, those are among the three most obese cities in the country. All this information I've been throwing at you about how your brain reacts to food and develops habits is designed to be ammo for when you have a craving. Understanding what causes the craving makes it much easier to control.
Please keep in mind, this is about half of the entire presentation. If you're up for a treat, you should definitely listen to the whole thing. You can do so by clicking the link labeled View the Full Video on YouTube in the show notes. So that does it for this episode of 7 Good Minutes. Until next time, let's be civil to one another out there. Thanks for listening.